Welcome to Exploration 1, Lecture 20. This week we are going to attempt to get end-to-end connectivity on our topology, and if we have sufficient time, we will configure a dynamic routing protocol such as RIP. Before I continue, does anyone have any general or not so general questions about the course? We will be looking at running the final soon. Soon defined as either next week or the week after. Alrighty. We are dealing with the three router topology that we have been dealing with for the last number of weeks now. I shall now post the link to our reference document into the chat window. And this week we are going to attempt end-to-end connectivity from one end of the topology to the other. We should be able to trace route from a machine in Perth to a machine in Headland and back again by the end of today. Alrighty, there's the link to our practical document. To save time, I have gone through and configured the network configurations for workstations 1, 2, 5 and 6. How did you go with 3 and 4, Sabahattin? Did you manage to plug those in?
Did we lose them, or is my net wonky?
No, I'm still here. Nobody has anything to say yet, so does anybody have any idea what we have to do to make this topology routable? I've set the gateways on the workstations to point at the stub routers. So the gateways on workstations 1 and 2 is 24.1, and the gateway on workstations 5 and 6 is 26.1.
Still doing the 3 and 4.
So they can each talk to the middle one.
No, they can't.
Oh, they will be able to talk to the middle one.
No, they won't.
Oh, I thought we got that far. Okay.
No, I don't think we did.
That would be the first step, wouldn't it? Getting Headlands in Perth to talk to the ISP.
Yep, I think that would be an excellent idea. So what we need to do is bring up a serial link between Perth and the ISP, and bring up a serial link between the ISP and Headland. Now, some of that may already be configured on the ISP router. Who wants to check that that is the case? Otherwise, I can zap in and check if nobody else wants to.
I can do that if Sabahattin isn't on that router.
I think he's still messing with workstations, so you should be safe to get onto that part of the pod. Now, the key point here is that because the Headland and Perth routers are stub routers, they have a default route, or they should have a default route, to get them off to the ISP. The only router they know about that is off-network to them is the ISP, and this parallels a home configuration. So if you're dealing with a home router, this is what you can expect. A default route that points through to the ISP, and a local, usually IPv4, unless you've got an airport or one of those other routers, IPv6 subnet.
That makes sense.
All right, I'm just going to have a look at what position we left the routing table in on router 2. No, I won't, because Shah's looking at that. I will check router 3.
I can get back if you want to.
No, it's all right. I'll check router 3. Okay, we are seeing there is actually a static route pointing through to the ISP. So
that's what I thought. I thought we'd I thought we tried pinging the ISP the last time or the time before or something.
That might be the case, although to know what's actually been put in running config and stuff and what's actually been saved tends to be a bit of a hit and miss exercise. Okay, how are we going with workstations 3 and 4, Seberhatten?
Should be done now. Receiving this?
I am.
Oh, good. Right, I thought I was a jittery configuration. Yeah, it should be done now. They should both be done.
Okay, now the first thing that comes to mind here is, can anybody tell me what is a little bit challenging about setting up this topology as it currently stands? What is one of the complexities that is causing a little bit of grief?
Too much handwork.
That's one of the things. What's one of the other things? For humans. They'll give you a clue.
No memory?
No. Would you believe that everything's done by IP address and there aren't any names given to any devices? Don't you think that's a little bit of a challenge?
That is true.
If we could call everything by names rather than IP addresses, do we think that would make things a little bit easier to reference and memorize and map out?
It would be nice.
Yeah, it totally would.
Okay, there are a couple of ways we can do this. We can only do it to a limited extent because we don't have an entire DNS infrastructure configured. However, as part of the Cisco command set, you can actually hard code host names into the configuration table, and I'm just going to make sure I know what the command is to do this before I make an ass of myself. So I'm just going to make sure I remember what that command is before I tell everybody. I'm pretty sure it's IP host, but let's have a look. Okay, yes it is. So basically what you need to do on the router, if you're going to have it know about things, now this is fairly decentralized, is you have to go IP space, this is in config T mode, so this is global configuration mode, and I can assure you that there is a question in the final on router prompts, promise. So they will ask what the command prompt is if you are in interface configuration mode or something similar. So make sure you pay attention to the prompts in the modes that you go into. I think it is actually the prompt in interface configuration mode. But in global configuration mode, which we get to with config T, we then go IP space host space the name we would like to refer to the host as. So for example, HWKS1 for Headland Workstation 1 space and the IP address we would like to map that host to. So on router 3, which is what I'm currently on, I am going to put host mappings in for the Headland workstations and the Perth workstations onto that particular router. If somebody wants to put in, if you guys want to split up the task of putting in ones for router 2 and router 1, I will key the template command into the chat. This will be in config T, and this is IP host, the name of the host and the IP address you wish to map it to. Keep in mind, however, that these host mappings are only valid for the router that they have been put onto. This information is not shared as it would be with DNS.
Since I'm not officially in the course, did you want to do this one, Sabahattin, and then maybe Mike could do one?
Which route do I operate on? Mike's with us, is he?
Yeah, he hasn't said anything for a while, but he's here. Do you want to put the host mappings in on router 1, Mike, or not?
Okay, I'll log in and go up and try to do that as best I can.
Well, give it a shot, that's all we ask. We are here to help you, and we will correct your commands if you have any problems. So there's the command you want, IP host name and IP. And I will now key in an example of what you might put in global configuration mode into the chat so you guys have got it for reference. And this will be one of the ones I'm feeding in on the Headland router.
Which mappings belong on router 2? Which one do I need to key?
You will actually need to put all mappings onto all routers. So you'll need HWKS1, HWKS2, PWKS1, and PWKS2 if you want all of the handy-dandy ones. If you want to be lazy, you can do only HWKS1 and PWKS1 for Headland and Perth Workstation 1 and not worry about the ones for 2. But, yeah.
No, that's fine. I'll put them all in.
You don't have to worry about the ISP workstations?
You can put them in if you want. It's optional. In fact, it's probably a good idea to put them in. But this is just for convenience for pinging and testing, so it just depends on how many we actually want to put in. The workstations won't be able to make use of these host mappings because the host mappings are only relevant to the router we've configured them on.
Okay, I got it.
Right, now I need to know the names and IPs of the various workstations I need to put into router.
It's in the Dropbox file.
I can key some of them into chat if you want the general patterns, but they are listed in the Dropbox document. Do you have that, or I can put a couple of them into chat?
I did have it, but I deleted it some while back because I thought we were not going to be able to get this done in time, but I can go get it again if need.
I'd duck off and grab that. I'll just paste the link back into chat again for you. And it has been updated probably since you grabbed it last with all of the information we've fed in over the weeks.
IP and host or IP host name, I've got wrong.
IP host, I think, will do it. That's how I've been putting them in and it hasn't complained.
Oh, great.
I'll just go and drop the commands we need to feed into each of the routers into the bottom of the text file for anybody who wants them so that we can drop them in rapidly and easily next week if we need them. Typing in all these IP host commands makes me want a few regular expressions and a copy of Ed to be able to substitute all these in. So this is fairly time consuming, which is why if we have the option, DNS should be configured to keep this information on one or two centrally configured name servers. This is why the hosts file didn't scale and people stopped using it in the early 80s.
What was the naming convention again? I've got ISP, WKS 1 and 2 for the ISP stuff. What's the rest of it? Perth is what?
PWKS for Perth Workstation and HWKS for Headland Workstation. Unless anybody wants to call them something different, but that was just the first thing I could come up with.
Yeah, that's fine.
There we go. They've all been added into the Dropbox file, so if anybody wants to save time with typing, feel free to copy and paste them into the TerraTerm window. However, the paste command for TerraTerm is Alt-V, not Control-V.
I was so happy when you told me that tidbit a while ago.
It's handy. We tend to discourage too much cutting and pasting initially because a lot of the commands are learnt by the actual typing of them, but when you're looking at repetitive and similar information such as IP host, I figure once you've done two or three, copying and pasting the rest in isn't going to kill anyone.
It ought to be done now.
Alright, once you've typed N to drop out of global configuration mode, you might want to try ping space ISP WKS1 and see if your host mappings work.
Yep, okay. Then.
You may want to copy your running configuration to your startup configuration so that you don't have to do this again.
Oh yeah, I've got a question about that. What's the difference between copy running startup and W, right? Because everywhere I read seems to keep saying W is sufficient, but I thought I read somewhere that Cisco says don't do that anymore.
I'm not actually sure. I've always copied running to startup. I think write was an old command that was valid for iOS in versions 10 and under. And I think that copy is more flexible because you can copy to TFTP servers, SSH, FTP, that sort of thing.
Right, so use copy for configurations as well as file system operations.
Yeah.
Right, I've put the IPs in for the workstations 1, 2, 5 and 6. I think that's what you wanted me to do.
It was. You can, as long as we remember that they're 1, 2, 5 and 6 on that router. Keep in mind that in this topology, the workstations are actually PWKS1 and PWKS2 for Perth workstations, and HWKS1 and HWKS2 for Headland workstations. However, we can refer to them on router 1 as workstations 1, 2, 5, and 6, as long as we remember to do that. I shall just write that in the file. Now, once you've typed end, Mike, can you ping WKS1, and does that work? Because it should.
Do you mean HWKS1, or would that be the right one?
What did you put in your IP host commands? Because whatever you put in your IP host commands is what you'll have to use to do the ping. But at the moment, you'll only be able to ping the workstations on the Perth segment because you're dealing with router 1, I believe.
Yeah, it's PWKS1, which is the WKS1 for the Perth router.
Okay. So once you've typed end to get out of global configuration mode, you should be able to ping space PWKS1, and it should work.
I'm surprised Cisco didn't patent the iOS title.
They have.
Oh, but maybe with the big I instead of the small one, because, yeah, the way patents work these days.
I'm pretty sure Cisco's got piles and piles of trademarks on iOS with whatever their capitalization is.
Yeah, they gave a license to Apple, didn't they?
I think they
Great. Success rate is zero.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
Okay. First thing to check is what IP address did that come back with when you went ping WKS... ping PWKS1.
25.2.
No, it meant it had to be 24.2. So sadly, you might want to go in and fix that. We have now highlighted another problem with this scheme, is that because it's lots of manual configuration, the possibility for typos is quite high, so we don't want to be doing this on large topologies. It will do for what we have today, however.
Do I need to do something to remove the existing hosts that I have there, or just carry on to assign that to a different IP?
Just do the same assignment again, and you'll map over the top of it. So no need to empty out the host tables or anything.
User operator error.
It's easy enough to do. That's why DHCP is so popular.
Oh, I never make typos.
Wow, I just saw a pig launch itself into the air, flapping its wings.
Madly.
Because this is a professional lecture, I will not make the theoretical noises that a flying pig would make.
Very smart.
All right. Do you guys want to start putting static routes into the other workstations so that they can get back to the Perth router?
That's great. So I've got the 24.2 in now, and I'm still getting the same thing.
Would you like me to take a look and see if I can debug what the problem is?
Shouldn't the router be 24.1, or am I remembering wrong?
He doesn't need the router in, though. He's on the router, so...
Oh, right. Okay, never mind.
If you can break back with Control-B for a second, I will drop in and see what's happening for you.
Okay, broken.
No worries.
Can I take this opportunity to pop off for a minute? I'll be back in a second. Just,
Yep.
Go to the...
Hang on. I see a discrepancy in our documentation, which could be completely my fault. And the topology here. So just let me have a scan back through the documentation. I could have sworn that the two subnets we were working with were 24 and 26, but I'm seeing this router is configured for 12. 192.168.12. Boggle.
It should be 24 and 26.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought.
I think it was 12 on the documentation as written previously.
I don't remember a 12, but that could be my fried brain.
Okay, well, I'm wrong. I always am.
No, probably not. It's probably my fried brain.
No, I'm seeing discrepancies in the documentation, Mark. It's all right. I believe that a couple of things have slipped through the cracks, and I'm just trying to rectify those and make sure that we are all on the same page.
Deep breath, Mike. It's all good.
Yes, negative on that. It's not all good. It's pretty lousy.
Fair enough.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay, I can see what's happening here. Something's been transposed from one of the files into the other. This is practical exercise one, not exploration practical. So I'm just going to reconfigure the Ethernet interface on router one and log out, and then I will allow you to connect back in and attempt your pings, which should then succeed. So I will be 5 seconds reconfiguring the Ethernet. There you are, Mike. If you would like to connect back into router one and do a ping, PWKS1, you should see happier results. And the mistake in this particular instance was mine.
Funny how that makes me want to say yay, but that would be really rude.
Oh, that's all right. I rendered the entire file system unbootable.
That actually works.
Did anyone see the tweets on that? I rebooted the main file server with our backup drive connected, not realizing that the boot priority was set to removable, and then the hard disks, and we had the hanging cursor of death on the screen. And it wasn't until I got Kieran in to come in and take a look that we realized that it was trying to boot off the external backup drive.
Oh dear, that was not good. How long was it down? That must have been in the middle of your day yesterday.
Yeah, about half an hour until we resolved it. I couldn't figure out why it wasn't rebooting, and I'm just like, what, really? Both of my new RAID 1 drives have crashed within 2 weeks of buying them? This doesn't seem very likely. And when we dug into it, we discovered that it was, in fact, the boot sequence. And correcting the boot sequence, the server came back up. I was very happy.
And then that half an hour, how many caryds broken did you get?
Not a one.
Ah, see, there's an advantage to having the middle of your day being the middle of 80% of your students' night.
There we go. And now... what is configured on the router now agrees with what's in our text file. There, I'll just hit Control S, so it definitely does. So anybody who would like to fetch a new version of Modified Reality, the correct IP addresses should now match what we have our configuration set to, and I'm just triple checking the rest of them so that we don't run into this problem in future.
Okay, now you were saying about configuring workstations.
The workstations are already configured. I set those up this morning before you guys all got here to save us a little bit of time, because I just know how we all love typing into Linux command prompts, and we've already done it a few times already, so let's not do it again. We now need to configure routes on the ISP router so that it knows how to get to our two stub networks. Now, do you have an idea? I'll pick on Sabahattin because he's done a little bit more Cisco than the rest of you. Do you have any idea how we might achieve that?
So, each subnet routes to a particular gateway address.
Or it could route to a particular interface. It could be a gateway address or a particular interface. It's up to you. There are serial links that connect the Perth. There are serial links that connect Perth to the ISP and the ISP to Headland. So I would set up a route from the ISP router to the Headland network through Headland serial interface and through Perth's network through Perth serial interface. So do you have any idea how we would achieve that?
Do I have to tell it that the IP address belongs to a particular interface first? Or do I just specify the interface?
I believe you can do either. If you specify the interface, it will pick up the default source address on that interface. If you specify the IP address, it will pick up the the correct IP address.
So something like IP root netmask or prefix /24 IP address, should that be?
Yes, I'm not sure whether you can actually use CIDR notation. You may have to IP route 192.168.24.0.255.255.255.0, but I'm sure the context sensitive help will sort you out.
Okay, well, it should be fine. I've never done that. Actually, I just realized I probably never would have because of PVP over here, so that would have been taken care of for me. Drat, I've lost my connection. Hang on a second.
No worries. Does everybody understand what we're doing on this topology? Does anybody have any questions as to how the connectivity functions? Is there any confusion relating to the routing that I can explain while Sabahattin messes with his connection?
No, I think I understand it.
Basically, the trick is we are telling the stub routers that sit out at Perth and Headland that they have a default route to the ISP, and then we are making the ISP router the smartest router in the group because it is understandable that the ISP will have more routing information than the stub networks. So that is the rationale behind this type of configuration. We could feed static routes for the Headland and the Perth network into either of the routers at either end, so feed in actual static routes for the other networks. However, if we minimize the information on the stub routers and have them using a default route, they will adapt more easily to changes in the topology if we were to renumber one of the subnets.
We're making it kind of T-shaped, in other words, right?
Kind of. Yeah, sort of.
The way I picture it, you have the stub in the end going to the middle, and then the middle goes out to the internet, presumably, or whatever it's doing. But it can talk to either of the other two. T is probably a bad analogy, but it was the first thing that popped into my head.
No, that'll do. That is sort of how you could look at it, actually, if you want to lay it out like that, with the two workstations at the ISP being on the base of the T, and the networks, the sub-networks hanging off the ends of the T on the left and right, if that's a picture that works. All right, guys, that's about all we have today, so I'm going to hit stop on the recording, and we are going to get this topology routing by next week with static routes, and then for our final practical lecture, we are going to configure a dynamic routing protocol.
Cool.